Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. I'm your host, Brayden. This is your Cosmic Call-In Show. We take all your calls every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You got ghost stories. You've seen Bigfoot. You've seen lights in the sky. You got a really cool story you want to tell. You got a theory you want to share. This is your place. You can call 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. Listen, you want to help Cosmic Channels? There's a whole bunch of ways to help. Jump on our social medias, like a post, leave a comment, go on Spotify, leave a comment under one of the shows. Leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. All that helps Cosmic Channels. And, you know, if you want to throw a couple donations our way to help keep the lights on here at Cosmic Channels, paypal.me/Cosmic Channels. Everything we raise on the show, we put right back into the show. And we need more calls. So please tell your friends. But this week, we're going to start off with a fan submission. You got a story? You don't want to call in? You can always write in to cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com and I will read your story live on air, just like this one. Okay, so this person, this is a good one. I don't know. This is called Strange Sights Over Roswell. I cannot read this person's name. They've said right at the start they wish to remain anonymous. So if I do say any name throughout the story, it's because I made it up to cover their name. Before getting into the meat of the story, I'd like to start by asking that I remain anonymous throughout this story. Working in the world of aviation, stories like these are unfortunately still frowned upon. For that same reason, I will not say exactly when this event occurred, except to say that it happened very recently. I almost decided not to tell this story. After what happened, I really understand why so many experiencers choose to stay quiet. The embarrassment, the confusion. But I feel as though if I don't share what happened for another point of view, I'll never be able to quiet my mind about this. That all being said, the following events took place someplace in the airspace above Roswell, New Mexico. Before relaying the exact series of events, let me first put myself into context. I am a pilot. I work for a company who delivers airplanes from their current location to the purchasing customer. I've also been a prolapser and an ATT fan for years now. I started listening at episode 9, Elisa Lam, and listened every week since. I bring that up only to point out that my mindset and belief system are similar to what I think many of your listeners and your own attitudes are. I want to believe. I love listening to the podcast and hear all the stories, all the strange theories and concepts. But at the end of the day, I'm still ultimately skeptical about 99% of the juicy conspiracies out there. I'm not the kind of person to jump to conclusion that anything strange or out of the ordinary is supernatural or paranormal. One of my recent trip involving flying a plane literally coast to coast, naturally the weather has been shite this time of year, which caused me to divert to a more southerly route. At the end of the first day of the trip, I was doing my flight planning for the second leg of the trip and realized that the tail end of the leg would have me flying over Roswell that night. Realizing that this is a prolapser's wet dream, I messaged Brayden about where I was going to be that night. He told me to live stream it, which would have been legit. Unfortunately, that's not really a smart thing to be doing in a cockpit at night and flying in the mountains. Also, there's no way I would have gotten service up there anyways. Regardless, I told him I would be abduction bait and that I'd keep my eyes open for anything weird. In no way did I think that anything would actually happen. Sure enough, around 11 p.m. local time, I find myself around 50 nautical miles from Roswell International Airport. True to my word, I'm looking for anything strange. ROW, Roswell Airport, is absolutely surrounded by military operating areas, or MOAs. MOAs are a special use airspace. However, civilian pilots are allowed to fly through them. You just need to keep an eye out for military traffic. At my current position, I was inside of an MOA. However, at the time and at the altitude I was cruising at, it shouldn't have been active. As I'm scanning the horizon, I pick up something off in the distance. Enormous flashes of green light. I legitimately can't believe it. There's no way I was seeing flashes of green light over the horizon over Roswell. I contacted Roswell Approach Control and reported what I was looking at, thinking that it must be some sort of natural phenomenon. They answered me saying that there weren't showing any severe weather in my area. However, there was an enormous thunderstorm in that direction about 250 miles away. It's incredible how far lightning can be visible on a clear night. And there are all kinds of strange atmospheric conditions that could cause lightning to appear green. It was just a fantastic display. Still, though, it was odd. But I just chalked it up to the time and the place that was getting me all worked up. I chuckled to myself about reporting this to the ATT crew and continued to fly east. 10 minutes or so pass, and at this point, I'm roughly 35 nautical miles away from ROW, which is the Roswell Air Force or International Airport. This is the point where events go from amusingly strange to legitimately bizarre. My entire instrument panel, communication and navigation radios, and transponder all start to flicker and then dim and then go black altogether. I'm completely dark. I have a flashlight, but it's in my backpack, which I've stupidly placed in the cargo compartment of the plane where I have no access to it. Now you have to understand that at night in the mountains with no instruments to reference or radios to communicate or navigate by, this is an absolutely ass-puckering experience. Your only reference to what is up and what is down is the stars. And those are a highly imperfect system with all kinds of optical illusions that can send a pilot smack dab into the side of a mountain. About 30 seconds into this outage, I'm really starting to sweat. I'm pretty certain I'm relatively straight and level, but mountains in the dark are essentially invisible. There's no one I can call for help with no radio and effectively no navigational aids available to me. I'm about to start coming unglued when, just as quickly as everything went dead, they suddenly come back to life, as if nothing was wrong at all. Instrument panel lighting, radios, transponder, all back up and running. I should stress that the engine remained running the entire time, which it should not have. On most GA airplanes, the engine is run entirely separate from the rest of the electrical system. That is done for this exact scenario. If you were to lose electrical power, you would at least still be able to have a functional engine. The airplane that I was on was different. Everything in that plane is computer controlled, which is to include the fuel and ignition systems for the engine. In short, no electrical power, no engine. They stressed that a lot in training I had to go through for this plane. So if I was experiencing trouble with all those electrical components, in theory, I should have also experienced engine failure, or at least engine roughness or loss of power. I did not. Which means that each of those... Oh, what happened there? Just closed it. In short, No electric power, no engine. They stressed that a lot in training I had to go through for this plane. So if I was experiencing trouble with all of those electrical components, in theory, I should have also experienced engine failure or at least engine roughness or loss of power. I did not, which means that each of those electrical components were malfunctioning individually at the same time. It would be like having your engine die in your car and then finding out that instead of bad gas in the tank, that your ignition coils, throttle body, timing belt, alternator, oil pump, and fuel injectors all went bad all at the same time. This sounds like a Boeing. Having everything back up and running, though, I decided to land at Roswell Airport for the night. Things were just too weird for me, and I can feel the stress taking its toll. I alter my course direct to Roswell and am about to call up ATC to let them know that I'm diverting when I see it. In the distance, I can see an aircraft. My first estimate is that it was roughly 60 nautical miles away. It's definitely an aircraft, but the lighting is wrong. Airplanes have a red light on the left wing time, a green light on the right wing tip, a rotating beacon on the tail, and white lights on the backside of each wing tip and tail. Every airplane is lighted exactly that way so that pilots can tell which direction another plane is traveling. This aircraft had two blue lights where I would assume that its wing tips would be, two green lights closer towards where the center of the craft was, and a single amber light on top, completely non-standard. This led me to my first reaction, which that it must not be an aircraft. Sometimes at night, lights on the ground off in the distance can look similar to an aircraft. I thought that must be what was happening in my situation, but upon closer inspection, I realized that this object was silhouetted against the stars, not against the ground. It looked to be roughly my altitude, which was high at the time. My confirmation came when I realized that this object was moving. When I first noticed this craft, it was about an inch wide. Now it's an inch and a half wide, and it's getting wider. Not only is this thing moving, but it's moving directly towards me. At my altitude, and fast, really fast, I immediately gave my plane full throttle, and deviated hard to my right, which is standard practice for pilots to avoid a head-on mid-air collision. The only problem is that the plane I'm flying, while very advanced, is slow, painfully slow. So even with my hard right turn and full throttle, I can tell that this thing is going to plow right through me if it doesn't deviate as well. So I start trying to make myself more visible. I start flashing my lights on and off, rocking my wings, and pitching up and down in altitude to create as much motion and flashing light as possible to catch the pilot's attention. Nothing's working. This thing is headed right for me, and now it's 2 inches wide. I'm really starting to feel my mortality, so I called approach control and told them in a not-so-calm fashion that I was looking at what appears to be an aircraft at my altitude heading right for me, and asked if they had anybody on radar and to tell them to deviate their course away from me. Approach control responded by telling me that it didn't have any aircraft on radar between me and Roswell or anywhere within 100 nautical miles of my position. I'm speechless. This thing is not only lit up like no other aircraft I've ever seen, but it's not showing up on ATC radar. I'm about to make the only decision I can think to do and try to dive below this thing, which is a horrible idea in mountainous terrain, but it's better than smacking headlong into this aircraft. When all of a sudden, it changes course. Almost instantaneously, it shifts from a head-on path with myself to a northerly track. It's at this time that I really can get a feel for how fast this thing is moving. After changing course, this craft was entirely out of sight, over the horizon within 45 seconds. I'm physically sweating at this point. I request my destination change with the ATC and make my approach and landing into a deserted ROW, which is the Roswell International Airport. After shutting down and securing my plane, I sat on the ramp with abandoned airliners and just tried to gather my thoughts and to try to make some kind of sense of what I just experienced. I caught a late night Uber to what must have been the itchiest Motel 6 in existence, complete with plastic alien statues out front and not entirely human front desk staff. And I laid on the top sheet for the next 4 hours with my thoughts until morning. I'm not saying what I saw was extraterrestrial. After all, I was inside of a military operating area near a top secret Air Force base, home to Skunk Works and known for experimental aircraft design and testing. The green lighting was weird, but maybe there's a natural weather explanation. The system malfunctions I experienced were extremely odd and should have resulted in an engine failure. But I didn't build the plane, and their problem, some uber rare bug that can occur that would result in the problems I experienced, maybe. The strange, oddly lit, invisible to radar, frequently maneuverable, and unbelievably fast aircraft I encountered could have been piloted by people, and probably was. But all of those things together in one night within 30 minutes was just a cocktail of bizarre events too strange for me to ignore. What I'm saying is that weird shit happens above Roswell. The stories, they might sound insane, and some of the explanation for the stories are insane, but just because these strange events might not be aliens doesn't mean that there isn't something happening. What I saw was real. And at the present moment, I don't have a solid explanation for them. I have theories, but nothing concrete. I hope I never experience anything like this again, but if I do, ATT and Cosmic Channels will be the first to know. Again, please keep my identity anonymous and refer to me only as your pilot alien correspondent. Keeping my eyes on the skies. Woo! Woo! Thank you, our pilot alien correspondent. That was a phenomenal story. Thank you so much for sending that in. Terrifying. It's so funny, the amount of people who I've talked to, you know, who I've heard that so many times. People being like, oh, I wish I had an experience. I was a person I always wish I had experienced. And then they have an experience and they're like, I never want to have another experience. I'm good. Like, that's it for me. I'm tapping out on that weirdness. But that is terrifying. Like, it was giving me shivers down my back. Like, you have someone who's pretty logical, quite skeptical, and they just have all this, you know, like you said, a cocktail of bizarre in a span of 30 minutes that he can't explain. And it obviously shook him to his core. And over Roswell, in my head, like, right away, I think oh man, maybe some sort of some sort of military craft, but I'm like, are they testing shit on civilian flights? I guess because maybe he had no passengers. It's like, if they're testing stuff on American public and like on other pilots, like, he would have been a good target maybe, because there's no collateral damage really other than him. If something were to go awry with whatever they were testing or trying to see. Really weird though. I mean, would that be like crazy to think that they would test stuff on pilots like that, right? I don't know. Seems weird though. Like, like he says, it's stuff we don't know, and I don't know. This is a wild story. Thank you so much for sending that in. Really appreciate that. That was great. Lines are open. 1-833-703-0424. You can call in every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And hey, listen, those times don't work for you, but you got a really good story, shoot me an email, cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. I will set up a time to record your story at a time that works for you. I can be flexible. You just got to shoot me an email. So if you've been listening to this show and you're like, God damn, I got a story I want to share, Braden, please open up the lines another time. All you got to do is reach out. Shoot me an Instagram message or on Facebook. You can get a hold of me and we'll make it work. But listen to that. We got a caller on the line. Call take priority. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's up? It's Duchess. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks, it's a different day.
How's your summer been? How's your summer been?
Good, making money and chilling at home, away from all the serial killers and the abductions, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Although being at home doesn't really save you from the abductions, but, you know.
Well, no.
Better safe than sorry. Yeah,
they'll pull you through the window, but the serial killers.
Exactly.
Well, and to be honest, staying home, there's a couple that broke in. Some serial killers were breaking in, so you're never really safe anywhere.
Thanks for that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're never really truly safe. No matter where you think you are.
You're never really safe. No.
You just think you're safe.
I'll call because I came across two things recently that I figured would be good for the show.
Right on. Let's hear.
So you got to take your pick. Okay. So one is, I don't know if you've heard about the discovery of dark oxygen.
No.
Recently, I guess?
I have not.
That's been going around? Okay. And then the other one is the anomalies in Mexico.
Ugh.
That's been going around this past week. I guess people have been posting videos of, like, radar and whatnot.
Okay. So what's the Mexican one? Give me a rundown on that.
Okay. So the anomalies in Mexico are apparently for the past, like, I want to say 4 or 5 years. I want to say the first time someone saw it, from what I've seen, and it's only like a week's worth of rabbit hole digging. The first time someone saw it pop up on the radar, and what I mean by radar is just like weather, like the weather apps where it tells you storms and, you know, cold fronts and warm fronts and whatnot. And there's this weird like shape. It's like, I don't know how to describe it. It literally looks like a fucking shield. Some people compare it to what it looks like, the Mayan calendar. If you can imagine that type of shape, but it's very like, it doesn't look like a natural shape is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Looks
and like, it pops up on the radar for like a couple minutes every couple years. I want to say the first time someone saw it was in 2019, if I remember correctly. But, people are obviously asking questions.
It's
because what the fuck?
Well, kind of looks like almost like a kaleidoscope, like circle, but it's weird. Or like, have you ever seen the videos where they play like sound through sand or something, and you get these like weird geometrical shapes? It kind of looks like that on the radar. There's a whole Reddit thread I just kind of pulled up on this thing.
There's this lady that she did some digging, and obviously I would need to do my own research on to see if all these dots that she connected are legit. But a lot of people were like talking about the hydrogen collider and whatnot, and they're like, well, that's not in Mexico. But they did research on, I guess, in that town where it's popping up is the University of, I want to say it's the university of that city. I forget what it's some Mexican name, and it's long, and I would probably butcher it anyways. So basically they have associations with CERN, and they're like really into like particle acceleration or whatever, the study of particles and like fission and fusion and all that shit. So I just thought that was super fucking dope.
What's so fascinating, because it's
getting info on that.
And it's like something's, whatever is going on there is manipulating like the weather radar system to make this geometrical circle. That's very interesting.
Enough to where we can see it on a little radar. Hell yeah. That's crazy. Right. And it's just funny. I brought it up and I was like really intrigued by it because my boss had saw it. I sent it to the group chat maybe in January. So for hearing it from like secondhand from someone else that was like, yeah, I found this a minute ago, because we were just swapping alien and, you know, stories back and forth and theories. And he was like, I found this one. And I was like, what the fuck? Shared it with the group chat. And now months later, people are seeing it again. And I was like, wow, that's funny.
There's like another one too that when you started talking about this weather anomaly, I was thinking you were going to talk. I think it's off the coast of Africa, South Africa. I might be totally missed, but there's this weather anomaly there that pops up on radar as like this huge, like black mass. that pops up, and they're not really sure like what is happening. Yeah, this is like looking. I've found more pictures of the one you're talking about. Like, it's so weird. Like, it's epicenter.
Yeah,
like,
I find it intriguing because it's so perfect. It's so symmetrical to me. I see it. I'm like, that's like.
And there's a pattern
that looks
to
like
it.
Something man-made. One is
yeah, 100%. Something man-made that's affecting that radar's picking up, and it's manipulating something because, like, you can see in other ones, like it's a perfect circle shape. Right, and then it almost looks like an iris is some, and like this one, there's some that are very interesting.
It looks like a fucking like a jet turbine or like a turbine.
yeah, it's very weird, and like it's obviously like because I know the radar and stuff, like the different colors are like the intensities of the bounce back and stuff. So it's like it's picking up different intensities here in some sort of geometrical pattern. That they don't know.
I would love for someone that can translate those like thermal images and stuff like that. If they could like 3D make it, I don't know, some type of mock or model, that would be fucking cool to see like it. And just based off of this radar image, here's what this could look like. And this is what these temperatures mean. So it would. I don't know. I'm not the scientist. I would break that down, but that would be interesting to see if they could
make
some sort of model with that evidence.
My brain kind of goes to like, I wonder if they're emitting something to try to manipulate weather here.
Yeah.
Right? Because
that's where we're picking it up.
So it's like, there's like, it's clear epicenter. Like, are they trying to cloud seed? Are they like, it's just so interesting because it's not like it. You know, the weird thing to me is like the weather radar and stuff. It's not like it picks up airplanes and stuff. Like it doesn't track airplanes and stuff like that. Like it's like, to be honest, I don't really know how it works, but like I can't remember a time where I've been watching the weather and they show the weather map and they're like, oh, and don't worry about these dots. Those are all the airplanes in the sky. You know what I mean?
So exactly. Yeah. Their technology is well enough that it knows what to pick up and what not to pick up.
I think it's
so that means that whatever is there, they're not accounting for that.
Let's learn.
Or they weren't accounting for it to be picked up on the radar. So that's even more intriguing because when we found out from when the lady said that they have associations with CERN, they basically do like not festivals, like conventions and stuff, like meetings, yearly meetings and stuff to, you know, fellow scientists get together and talk about discoveries and whatnot or whatever. So I was thinking, like, I mean, it's not too far of a reach that if they already have one particle accelerator, that they would be willing to put their funding into, I mean, it could be another of the same or another machine that does something else. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was some shit like that. And we find out later on that they're like, we have a new 3-letter agency that's going to be working on this. Oh, we got our machine up and working in 2 months. Like, really? No, it's because it's been there all along.
Whenever I have questions like this of how does weather radar work or stuff like that, I always hit up ChatGPT and I go, explain this to me as if I'm a child so I can follow along. And this is what it says. It says, imagine you're playing a game of Marco Polo in a big field, but instead of shouting Marco, you have a magic flashlight that sends out an invisible light beam. Whenever these beams hit something, like a tree or a person, they bounce back to you and you can tell where they are even without seeing them directly. A weather radar works kind of like that magic flashlight. It sends out radio waves, which are like the invisible light into the sky. When these waves hit raindrops, snowflakes, or even hail, they bounce back to the radar. The radar listens for the echoes of these waves coming in and uses them to figure out where the rain or snow is, how far away it is, or even how heavy it might be. So maybe it does work like radar.
It sounds like a sonar.
Yeah, and you can tune it.
It sounds like a fucking bat, like how a bat would get around.
Yeah, so you can tune it, I guess. So maybe like these things are, but it still doesn't make sense that whatever this anomaly is like so like clearly powerful when they're tracking just weather events, right? When they have their instruments dialed in for weather. Because I imagine this stuff could be used to track planes and stuff, because it's just bouncing it off particles and whatnot. But there's probably some sort of dials where you can dial the intensity. And so there's certain levels for like physical crafts and sky and or metals and reflecting back, and different things for like weather events. But it's just interesting that you have such a powerful image, you know, mm-hmm. while
like
you're tracking
strong.
Weather.
Like, yeah. That shit is not like, oh, you got to make it out and like squint your eyes. No, that bitch is there. Like, there's no denying that it's something popped weird. Up on the radar. That's what is even most intriguing to me. It's not like you have to, it's not like a fucking Bigfoot picture where you're like, well, if you turn your head this way and, you know, you adjust the lighting, like, no, it's there. It's just a matter of what the fuck is that? And I those are the questions I look for, because it's like, what? It could be anything, because obviously we don't know. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and it's still,
and
like,
obviously it's still a fresh story. It came out, like, the more recent sightings, I think this came out less than a week ago, so we'll probably be hearing a lot more about that.
Yeah, the main
maybe, hopefully.
Articles and stuff where it first started popping off were from July, and it's like, everything is just speculation right now. They're like, they're not really sure what it is, according to like the experts. They're like, they think it's one expert says it's this is a range test,
radar testing.
Yeah, and it's a range test, and the computer program running data through the radar to confirm the radar works in all directions. And I mean, it does have that.
Why, but I just don't believe them.
It's so weird because it does have that mechanical, like when you look at it, it has that like mechanical, like it looks like something we're doing. Like, cause it's very patterned and stuff. Like, so it is weird, but I mean, yeah, it's still.
I think we've all seen a plane turbine. That's what that looks like. Like, yeah. If I can translate it to something physical, if you're looking down a fucking plane turbine, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, that's exactly where my brain went first. It wasn't like, oh, this is a weird looking storm. No, it was like, what the fuck is that? That doesn't look like a thunderstorm or a tornado or a hurricane. And it just magically was, you know, that shape. It looks like, that's a machine of some sort or something that was put out there that we now picked up that wasn't intended to be picked up for public knowledge, I would think.
Yeah. No, that's super interesting. Thank you so much for calling. Well, let's save the dark oxygen for another time. Call in again and we'll talk dark oxygen.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
Have a great one.
Hey, thank you so much for having that discussion with me.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care of yourself. Bye.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
I almost hit in stream instead of in call. Yeah, super interesting because it does, like, it looks patterned almost like noise. It's weird. Pirate are saying, I have a remote job right now that is basically quality control for these AI Google answers. Like 20% is absolutely terrible advice and 20% is us straight wrong. I wouldn't trust this stuff. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, ChatGPT once said I was typing in stuff and you're just messing around with different prompts. And I was asking about myself. I was like, what do you know about me? And I typed my name. Talked about me having a production. It said, you know, talked about alien theorizing. Then it talked about that I moved on to have a production company and produced a couple films. And I'm like, did I? I don't know. And then I'm just like, is this thing tapped into some sort of alternate universe just over where it's just pulling You know, because this is all just some simulation. So is it just a simulation over that it's pulling from? I tried to go, which movie? And can you produce the script for me? Because I was like, I was just curious to see, like, how far will this thing, how long will the machine lie? Telling my future. I don't know. We'll see if I produce any movies in the future. Doubtful. But, man, you know, I've never seen, I would listen. Someone asked, you want me to produce a movie? Sure. What does a producer do? What do I have to do? What does that entitle? I don't know. Is it a lot of work? I know executive producer is not a lot of work. It's just kind of like, that's it. That's all you do. But I don't know about the other stuff. Anyways, lines are open. 1-833-703-0424. Listen, lines are hot. We already got someone else on the line. Let's go to the caller. Welcome to Cosmic Channels. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Derek from LA.
What's going on, Derek? Is this your first time calling?
This is my first time calling, yeah. Long-time prolapser, first-time caller.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. What do you got for us tonight?
Ghost story. So that happened to me personally.
All right, let's hear it.
So I worked for this master electrician years ago, and basically my lease came up on the place I was staying. And I told him that I was, like, looking for places. I couldn't really find a place. And he was like, okay, well, I just bought this big old house, and I'm, like, gutting it and, you know, just bringing it up to date. And you could rent, like, a room for really cheap. But, you know, it's haunted. And I was like, yeah, okay, bro. Like, I didn't believe in ghosts at all.
He actually gave you that little preamble of like, this is a haunted.
Honestly, I thought he was joking. Like, he said it in like almost like a throwaway. He's like, oh yeah, by the way, it's haunted. Like, he didn't care. And I was like, yeah, okay, dude. Like, sure.
Nice.
did not believe in ghosts at all at the time. And honestly, like, so I move in, first like couple months, nothing really happened. Totally forgot he even said this. I hear like random bumps and stuff, but the house was built like the 70s or something. Like, it was an older house, like in the middle of like a bunch of tract homes. So it was like definitely the oldest looking house. So I just chalked up to like, you know, house settling or whatever. Anyway, he was always there, like working on it, like after work and whatnot. But one weekend he went out of town, and it was like Friday night, heard like the same bumps and everything, didn't really think too much of it. Then Saturday came around, and I started hearing like sounded like people running upstairs, like back and forth on the hallway. And I like heard it through like my headphones. I took my headphones off and I started hearing like people talking, like it sounded like an old person, like, you know how they kind of have that cadence, like, oh yeah.
yeah, the stereotypical
like
old
in
person
the living room, right?
Yeah.
So, and I didn't think like ghosts at first, right? I didn't even remember that he said that shit before. So I'm like home intruder. I grab a shotgun and I go like start clearing the house. Like, I go upstairs or I hear the running, and then I start hearing running downstairs. Ooh. And I started getting kind of freaked out, honestly, because there's only one staircase, right? So it's like I didn't pass these people on the stairs if there's somebody in the house. And so I went downstairs and I cleared the whole downstairs, went back upstairs, cleared the whole upstairs, because I didn't clear it the first time. I started hearing it downstairs. But then I was like, okay, that's super weird. And I just gave up. And as I'm walking back to my room, so my room had like the connection to the garage, but it was like a laundry room and then the garage, like in the hallway off on the way to my room.
Okay.
Walked past that door just slams open like so hard. So hard slams open, and I'm like freak out. I still have the gun pointed at the laundry room, and I go into the laundry room to like check it, look behind the door. The door to the garage slams open super hard, and then I like fucking super tense, slowly creep into the garage, and I'm like pointing the gun around. I turn the light on, and like a bunch of shit like ejects off the walls, like the like shovels and like weed whacker, you know, like people hang them with like nails on the wall.
Yeah. And they're just
eject off the wall, like feet, like 4 or 5 feet, just eject off the walls. I almost shot it. And then I just left. I just left the fucking house. I went and stayed with my friend that night. And then I told him about it, the dude that I was renting from. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, it is haunted. I wasn't kidding around. And, like, there's, like a kid died here. Like, an old lady died here. Like, some other people died here.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah.
So, and, like, no chance of earthquakes. Just because I know in L.A., I'm just going to ask the, you know...
No, tropics. It wasn't an earthquake for sure.
Like, these things are ejecting straight out at you.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was on the other side of the room, but, like, when I went back, like, later and saw that, like, they were, like, clear and, like, I don't know. I mean, not in the middle of the room, but they were off the wall for sure.
Oh, that is terrifying. And
yeah,
so was this a regular occurrence? Like, shit was, like, this was happening whenever you, like, when you stayed there?
So, like, I'd hear bumps and stuff, and, like, I just, like, I was super skeptical, so I just attributed it to, you know, the house. Like, and then, I mean, I was looking for a place anyway, so I found a place, like, 2 weeks after that. I, like, really ramped up my search because that shit scared me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but, of course. And, like, did you ask your boss, like, how do you stay there? Like, does he have a truce with this thing, or what's...
Yeah, he literally told me he doesn't really mind them. He's kind of made peace with them, and they're cool with him. And he was like, oh, yeah, you must have been putting out some bad energy or something.
Like, well, you know, maybe this thing's a little territorial, so it's like who's this guy, right? Like, what's this
maybe,
about?
Yeah.
Why is this guy here so much? And it's a little upsetting. So they're just, you know, they're testing boundaries, whatever this thing is. Right with you,
yeah,
to see how you are. And you know, I mean, you were doing reasonable. It's reasonable to hear bumps in the nights, and you're like, hey, well, I better have my gun. And it's like,
yeah,
listen, spirits, that's not gonna affect you. Chill out, you don't have to launch weed whackers off the wall. And like, those are some heavy items. And like, how far are they getting tossed?
Probably like 5 feet off the wall. Wow. I mean, they were hung up like probably 3 feet above where like the bottom of them were, but still they were like 5 feet out.
Weird. And so since then, are you a believer now after living at that place?
I definitely believe in ghosts. I mean, that's the only experience I've had with anything like paranormal. And I only say it's paranormal because I can't explain any of that shit. You know,
I know it. Well, that's so,
like, I can explain away bumps and creaks and, you know, house swelling and whatnot, but like not weed whackers jumping 5 feet off the fucking wall, like
sitting and just having a mass ejection of everything off the wall is a little bit, you know, you can't say that's, you know, the house shrinking.
Well,
you know, it's just
like
a little settling
in there too. Right.
Yeah.
Like, because I walked past that door and it slammed that door open, and then I walked into that little laundry room and it slammed the other, like the garage door open.
Oh,
like,
man.
It wanted me to go there, right?
Like, yeah, it was like leading you where it wanted you to be.
It wanted to do something with the weed whacker, I guess.
Yeah, but it was, yeah. How would, I'm asking questions here. What was the state of the lawn?
I mean, he kept it up really well.
Kept it pretty, like, tight?
Yeah, I mean, he was doing everything. He got it like a good deal, and it's probably because it was haunted. But
well, and it just because
he was constantly working on it.
In my head, when you said, like, you kind of heard that like old curmudgeon kind of voice, like the old, like, stereotypical, like, old man voice, then you're getting the weed whacker chucked at you. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, you know, maybe is the property not being kept to the liking of the previous owner,
like,
you know what I mean?
The
right? And he's like, yeah, fix it right now. Yeah. Open the garage door, and he's chucking the weed whacker, right? Because he's like, hey, edge this bad boy. This is not unacceptable for my property, right? And I was kind of thinking maybe something like that, but if your buddy keeps it pretty tight, then, you know, that's not a good plan. Then it just seems like it was luring you there to, you know, it feels like to do you some harm, or at least hit you with something. Like, it seemed upset.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I can't speak on the state of the lawn at the time. I don't remember. This was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe that weekend it was not good.
It's getting a little long.
I'm not sure. I didn't really think about it. Yeah. But.
Well, I'm just trying to put a connection together because the old man and then like throwing the yard tools at you. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if it really wanted to hurt you and do some damage, like, you know, they could have done that with plates, glass, mm-hmm. right? And stuff that could have done. But I was like, it's weird, like the lawn stuff coming off the wall. I was like, was it trying to like give you like do the lawn? Was that like, was it giving you hints or something? Because your boss seems to have like a good relationship with this thing. So, you know, it's like maybe that it is trying to communicate, right? But I mean, mm-hmm. listen, I would have been freaked out too. I'd have been like, I'm out of here. That's it. Right. Or, you did have a shotgun. So maybe it was just like upset that you grabbed a gun, right? It's hard to say.
That's what he thought when I talked to him about it. And I told him, like, dude, I cleared your whole house with a shotgun. And he's like, yeah, that's they probably pissed him off. Like,
yeah, he's like, I'll apologize to them on your behalf. You squashed the beef. So 2 weeks you lasted in there.
I was there for almost 4 months, I want to say. But this was, I was already like, kind of like looking at places heavily. Yeah. So I found a place. I mean, I like kind of settled because I was like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, that's terrifying. So like, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on when stuff like that happens? When you theorize in your head, what do you think it is?
I mean, it, some kind of spirit. I mean, he said multiple people have died in there, just attached to that house, I guess. And they like it a particular way. They maybe don't like people in their space. And especially me. I mean, I did have an aggressive response.
Yeah.
Like I had one in the chamber clearing that house. So
they were ready to go. So yeah, you know, it's interesting that maybe these, you know, some spirits and stuff do linger at these places that they cared about and you know, watch over it. Or, you know, it's an interesting thought. Like why are they stuck to the house? Like why, you know, what's the attachment to that house? You got to think if there's a, you know, some sort of afterlife we all go to, you know, I don't think I'll be hanging around my house if I have the ability to travel, you know what I mean? If I'm a spirit. So it's kind of weird that you see these places. I wonder if there was something done to the house or into the house that's like holding them all there. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, it's interesting that you have this house and all these spirits seemingly stuck to it.
Yeah, I don't even think when I like asked him about it, I mean, he didn't have a whole lot of information about the people that died. He just knew that people had died there.
Yeah.
He knew the old lady, I guess, like lived there by herself and she like fell and couldn't get up and like just died on the floor because nobody came to check on her. Ugh. So maybe that one makes sense.
Yeah, that one's like she's upset.
You know, upset, but like, I think that, like he said, there was like a kid that died there. Well, and,
I could see a kid, like a kid there. A kid's lost, doesn't know where to go. I could see that.
Maybe, yeah. But like, I don't think any of them were like violent or anything.
Yeah.
So,
like, you didn't get
the old lady one. I could see her sticking around. Like, why did nobody help me?
Yeah. Or and depending on the, I mean, let's just okay. So if say let's go with that analysis and it is a maybe an older woman's spirit, maybe the child died first, so now she's watching over this like child spirit that's there because she like doesn't want to leave it alone, right? I don't know, I'm just trying to figure it out in my head, but like because I'm like still like you think you know, you if you could leave, you know, maybe you would go and check it out and or go see if like see where your family went or follow your family. Just weird to be so attached to the house or in that area.
Yeah. But yeah, especially if it's not violent or anything. Or.
Yeah, it's just, that's always kind of been a fascination for me where some of these places seemingly, you know, whether or not trapped, because you hear different places where it's like, you know, they'll have tons of ghosts, different ghosts, and you're like, well, why this area? It's like they didn't live in the same time. You know, maybe they died there, but what's keeping them all? What's keeping them all kind of tethered to this realm. And, you know, someone else's house doesn't have anything that has, you know, someone die in it. So it's kind of interesting to thought. Derek, thank you so much for calling in. Hey, it was easy call. It was smooth, right? It wasn't bad. Anyone out there with anxiety, got any tips for them? Calling in?
What's that?
I said, you got any tips for people who are too anxious to call? They say they get too nervous to call. This was your first call, so.
Oh, man. I mean, I wanted to call for like a year. I was nervous, too, but now it's super smooth. You're easy to talk to. And
thanks, buddy.
Just do it.
Hey, how'd you find the show?
I actually, I'm a big 40K fan. So nice. I listen to all the 40K podcasts. Yeah. And you guys, like, years ago, like 2 or 3 years ago at least. Shit, probably closer to 4 now. Did like a
Warhammer
swap with Warhammer.
Yeah. No, those are our boys. Those guys got fucked over by Spotify just like we did. We were in the same group of people who
is
got.
Is that why they only made it to 100 episodes?
Probably. I mean, Spotify. There was a 10 of our shows, that all got picked up at that time. Warhammer was one of them, and there was a couple others. And they seriously, seriously affected all of the shows. They killed the momentum of all the shows that were in that program. So it's I'm glad you found it that way. It's always cool that when you hear about these, we put out cross promotions all the time, so you never know if they work. So it's always nice when you hear one, especially from guys you liked working with, that they got it from there. So thank you so much, Derek, for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, have yourself a good night, man.
Later, bud.
Bye. Oh, awesome call. Listen, lines are open, 1-833-703-0424. There's already someone else on the line. That's what we like to hear. We like the callers. So if you want to call Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, come hang out. I want to hear your story, but let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Sam from Auckland, New Zealand. I've rung you a couple of times.
Oh, hey, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yourself?
Hey, no complaints. I love when I get overseas calls. It's the best. It's my favorite thing because the timing isn't too bad for Cosmic Channels for you on that side of the world.
No. Generally, I'm at work, but I Skype the day off. So
oh, nice.
I don't have to get to watch you and get to call without having to hide in a closet.
Hey, well, it's fun hiding in a closet, getting paid for it anyways.
Oh, 100%, mate. Yeah. Favorite thing about me job.
What do you got for us tonight?
Oh, a UFO sighting that me and my boys had about 6 months ago.
Nice. Let's hear it.
Yeah, we, my youngest son, he's been sort of begging to see one because me and my oldest boy, we'd seen one. I've got two sons. And the three of us were just walking the streets the other day. And we live on the flight path for Auckland Airport, so we get a lot of aeroplanes.
Yeah.
And this aeroplane's coming in, and the youngest goes, oh, I'd just love to see a UFO or something. And then all of a sudden, the orb just came down out of the clouds. It was a patchy, cloudy day, so not full overcast. This light just came down out of the clouds, circled the plane 3 times above it, and then just shot back into the clouds, not at any rate of speed or anything. It just came down, circled the plane, and went back up. And I said to my son, I said, well, what do you think about that one? And both of their jaws were just on the ground. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened.
That's wild. So this thing, almost like immediately after, like no word of a lie, like he says that, and then it's boom, it happens.
Yep. Yeah, like one of those things that old Dr. Greer talks about, like summoning them.
Yeah, manifesting.
Within seconds, circled, and then back into the sky again. Like, there you go, mate, you've seen it.
You've seen us. Yeah, that's so, it's so cool that he had that, where it's like he manifests. He says this, and it's just like, boom.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what I thought. You've just manifested that. Like, that wouldn't have happened if you didn't speak it out into the ether.
Yeah. And you know, just be... It makes me think, though, that, like, what these things are or whatever they do, like, are they, you know... Is our... Because, listen, we know our thought and, like, us just concentrating, looking at something changes shit. We know that. You know, this... Double slit experiment proves that. So it's like when you put that conscious thought, is there something out there that picks up on these things, right? Like, and just is doing that, like, because it seems like it's such a, like, I wish, and then it happens. It's almost like, are they listening? Did they hear? Does doing that send some sort of signal to them? Like, it's very interesting to me that, because you hear a lot of people manifesting them and going out, like, and even when we tell people, you know, go outside at night and keep your eyes on the skies and sit there for hours. Like, even going out there with the conscious, like, thought of being like, I'm hoping to see something. And then you go and sit out there for hours. Yep. Like, you're going to see shit. Like, is it the fact that you're putting it out there that you want to see stuff? Like, it's very interesting to me. That
this Definitely is. I had a buzzy one the other day. It could have been a satellite or an Elon light.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. But it was, I saw it, and I'm like, it was up in the atmosphere and about the size of a star, and it was just cruising across, and I'm like, oh, look, that looks like a Starlink Elon light. But then it stopped, and then it started heading back in the opposite direction, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if satellites and everything do that. It was so strange, and it was a day that I forgot to take my batteries to work, and it was like, maybe there was something in the sky going, go home, go back.
Turn back.
So straight.
So this thing is running straight and then just kind of like hooks off?
It didn't hook off. It just stopped dead where it was and then just headed back on exactly the same
trajectory
it came from.
Oh, dude, that's so weird. Because that's like, I mean, maybe I'm just like spitballing, like, of things we have that could have, I mean, maybe it's some sort of drone, but like that, even that, like, you normally you can hear them. Like,
yeah, it was, well, from my opinion, it was way above the flight path of the airplanes.
Yeah.
It was, I thought it was up in the atmosphere. I thought it was a satellite. But, yeah.
And no knock on New Zealand. No knock on New Zealand, but it's like, you know, are they doing tests above New Zealand? Right?
I wouldn't have a clue, mate. Yeah, you never know what the Yanks are up to.
Yeah, it's like, what's the game plan there? Like, are they going to activate Mordor? Right? Is that Mount? Right? I don't know. I guess it makes sense in a way of like, what a great spot to test places, like test things, because you're like, yeah, no one noticed. Like, it's overpopulated areas. But man.
Nah,
right, exactly. Back on the same path.
Really populated places, the cities.
Yeah, that's super weird. That just the halt. Because I've seen the stuff that like is flying like a satellite. And you're like, oh look, satellite, and it just like, and does like a hard turn. You're like, that was strange. I've never seen that. You're like, that is way up there.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. A hard turn. I've never seen a hard turn. Yeah. This one just stopped. Dead, and then just went back on its own trajectory. I was just like, weird, but who knows?
Man, that's wild. What color, the light that came down from the sky that you and your boys saw, what color was it?
Everyone I've ever seen has been white.
Just a white? And like, or like hard, yeah, hard, like flashlight looking light, or was it like a soft?
Yeah. Like someone is pointing a flashlight at you from a distance. That sort of
that light.
That sort of light. You know, like
brilliant light.
You can just see the glint of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I 100%. And that's it's interesting. Now it makes me just want to go outside and start manifesting and being like speaking it out. Show yourselves in my front yard.
Yeah.
The sky.
Yeah. Just take your young son out there, mate. Once he can talk and get in, talk to the sky. Maybe they have the kids more than adults.
Yeah, maybe they got some. You know, maybe they're tapped into something that we're not. Right? It's Interesting.
Yeah, I 100%.
Man, thank you so much for calling in with the stories. I love getting UFO calls, and if I'm hoping that everyone listening to that is going outside tonight and manifesting some UFO sightings.
Yeah, why not, mate? Why not?
All right, brother. Excellent. You take care of yourself, and let me know if you and your boys see more stuff.
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks, Braden. Right. Take it easy, brother.
Take care of yourself. What a beauty. Listen, I love getting overseas calls. So if you're listening from New Zealand and Australia, you always got time. Listen, you got time to call. You're at work. Listen, tell your boss, I got important call. I got to step away, important call. If you say that and you look a little concerned, no one's going to ask anything. I thought someone else was on the line, but that looks like it's going to be it for tonight. But hey, I want to do one more fan submission before we go tonight. So listen, if you got a story, you don't want to call in, you know, fuck you. You should be calling, but I get it. Send your stories to cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com and I will read it live on air, just like this one. This is Courtney's story. Hi, my name is Courtney and I'm from Virginia. Hold on, let me put on some music. I think I got music already playing. My name is Courtney and I'm from Virginia. So my sighting was when I was about 13 or 14. So around 8 years ago, I was at my cousin's house in Rutgersville, Virginia. And we'd always go outside and play. Wait, Manhunt in the Dark. I read this last week. I forgot to move it. See, classic. I'm going to move this one too. Story's read. All right, this one. Be like Roberto and send in your story. This is Roberto's story. Hi, my name is Roberto. I'm from North Texas. I've been listening to your podcast for a month now, and I've managed to listen to most of the podcasts available on iTunes. I just want to share my very cool encounter. I heard from one of my friends where I work back. Oh, I just wanted to share my very cool encounter. I heard from one of my friends where I work back in 1992. Back in 1992, my friend Thomas was visiting his family in the city of Mexico. While being down there, him and his wife were invited to a town party in San Miguel of Tiaxpan, Mexico. Listen, I'm going to trash that. Sorry. Apologies in advance. San Miguel, Mexico. This town has a very open country on its east side. While being at the party, him and his wife were dancing when they saw everyone heading over the edge of the street. The dance area was covered by a big canopy in case of rain. He thought, well, maybe someone is fighting or some kind of problem was going on. Then he realized everyone was looking towards the sky and not the ground. So he decided to head over and take a look himself. When he looked up, he saw a big cigar-shaped UFO, approximately 500 feet in the air. The UFO was lit up with a lot of lights on all sides of the craft. The front 75% of the lights were a white dim color, and the end 25% were red. At the end of the craft, he said he remembers something that looked like a bright red ashes coming down from the craft and dying about 100 feet below it. The craft was heading east out of town into a large deserted area filled with open country. After this encounter, he is a firm believer in UFOs. When he told me this story, it just blew my mind and made me wish I could be special enough to witness the encounter the town of San Miguel saw that night. That's an interesting one. I feel like I just read a story last week or the week before, or maybe someone called in. And we were talking about like sparks. It looked like sparks flying off. And that's kind of what this person, is saying, this bright red ash coming off like sparks. And I think it was a caller last week, actually. And we made we were kind of joking, like, yeah, sparks are never good on some sort of craft. So we were kind of theorizing that perhaps it was, in some sort of distress or having trouble, flying around. So it's really interesting that, I'm now reading another story of, this is a friend of a friend, our favorite kind of stories on Cosmic Channels, where, you get that same kind of description of like something wrong with the craft. Very interesting. Thank you, Roberto, for sending that in. If you've seen something like that, you've seen a craft or know someone who's seen a craft that has like sparks like that, listen, call Cosmic Channels. We want to hear it. We want to put these stories together. We want to make connections. You know, maybe lots of people are seeing the same things, but we don't know until you share your story. And this is the perfect platform to get your story out there, because non-judgmental, we just like hearing the stories and theorizing on what it could possibly be. That's going to be it for this week of Cosmic Channels. Thank you, everyone who's supporting the show. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts and come hang out on a live stream. We need those calls. You got a family member that's got a story? Get them to call. Share their story. I'll take secondhand. I'll take friend of a friend stories. But that's it for this week of Cosmic Channels. See you all next week. The cosmic lines are now closed. Irish potato and the Boston Bruins are the biggest duds I've ever met in my entire life.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.